Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together, to be assembled in your name and in your word. Father, we ask you to bless this day, bless the word that goes forth. May it charge us, O God, and bring forth energy, Lord, to live our lives anew and to live our lives in your presence. Help us, O God, as we surrender ourselves to you this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This will be the unveiling of God, number 143 in our series, and I'd like to entitle it The Reality of the Manifested Word. Now, this morning I believe that we're going to be turning another corner, and it seems that it's always when God turns a corner that some of the people get thrown off course, just like in laying brick. Anyone can place a brick down one after another in a straight line, but when it comes to turning that corner, that's when people mess up. But it takes a well-trained bricklayer to turn the corner and have everything plumbed off and running in continuity. Therefore, you must always remember, when we come to the corner, people will get thrown off. They can't help it. They think they understand. They put one brick down after another in building the body of Christ. But when God turns that corner, unless you know what you're doing, you can very easily get thrown off. So this is not to be taken lightly. Well, Brother Branham said from the rapture, he said, we're at a corner. It's easy when somebody turns a corner of a brick mason, turns a corner and starts, and everybody laying the bricks right down the same row, like a certain denomination starts and starts rolling down the row, and it's all right. But when you get to them turns where you have to turn back and the other way. Now, God isn't building a wall, he's building a house. See, and there's many cuts and turns that he's predicted here in the Bible, and it's the turns. Everybody could try to make a turn, but it must be according to the blueprint. If it isn't, it's got to be torn down. And so we're going to look at this understanding of the Word becoming a reality, the manifestation of the Word. You know, Brother Branham said we read last week, or he said, you know, they all read the same Bible we read, but they can't see when that Word that's in here is actually manifested out here, when it becomes a reality. Now, years ago when we built this church, this building here. So we sought out the very best foundation company because if your foundation is off, the rest of the building will be off. So we got this foundation company that was the biggest around and had a very good reputation, Triple Q was their name, which stood for quality, quality, quality. So we just expected that they knew what they're doing because, after all, they were the very best. Well, then the framers came along, and them thinking that they could rely on the foundation builders, they just laid the frame on top of the foundation, and away we went, or the way they went. So far, so good, but everything looked like it was going great. But then it wasn't until the brick mason began to lay the brick that we found out that the wall had a bow. This wall here, the foundation had a bow in it. And it was 2 inches, there was a 2-inch bow from end to end, but over 65 feet, you don't notice it. All right. So what we did was, we ran out of brick ledge. We got 400 brick on the wall, ran out of brick ledge. And I said, something's wrong here. So I went inside. I went and got a laser, lined it up right at the wall, took the measuring tape, ran it down the other end, took the measuring tape, made sure that they're both the same. And then I went down the wall, and sure enough, there's a 2-inch bowl in the middle of the wall. Now, you can't see that over 65 feet, but you sure can tell it when you're laying brick. Well, it wasn't according to the blueprint. So we called both contractors because the framers should not have framed until they had measured to make sure the wall was straight. The foundation people should have laid it straight. And so we ended up getting some money back from both of them, but you know, we wasted 400 brick and about 3 days of bricklaying. So you can see you've got to go by the blueprint. If we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, there's a blueprint. And that's this Word. God laid out everything for us in his Word. So, now after having, Brother Branham said from the seal of God, he said, but now there is a blueprint, and now every church teaches, perhaps, what their theology is of the church, believing that it's based upon a blueprint. There isn't one denomination out there that didn't found their denomination on one particular piece of Scripture. But the problem is that they don't take all of the Scripture. you can take one piece of scripture that said Judas went out and hung himself, and take another piece of scripture that says, go thee therefore and do likewise. Put them together, you've got a cult. Alright? So he said it must be based upon the blueprint. Well, now, many times in seeing those things, that it isn't just the way that I read a blueprint. So that I have a right in my own church to lay out what I think is right. And here some time ago, a contractor, I was in Milltown, at the Milltown Baptist Church, where we had a revival. And Brother Wright, you all know, and I guess you remember Marion Lee, and he was very upset about something I taught in water baptism. Well, he went home and he was upset about it. And he was a contractor, and that night he dreamed a dream, and the Lord showed him that he was building a house, and he was to put a bay window on it. And so instead of putting a bay window on it, he just put a porch. Said, well, that'll be all right. But when the owner of the house came up, he said, tear it down to the foundation and start over. So he had been taught something different from what the Bible taught. So he said, I just might as well tear the foundation down and build it right over. I went home with him that night, stayed there all night at the house. So then, and he continued the story, and you must be born again. He says, and that night while we were laying there, Brother Lee, he had a dream, and he always debated with me about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe it, and he was a contractor, and so he said, Brother Bram, I just dreamed a dream, and he said, I dreamed I went up to New Albany, I was building a man's house, and he gave me the blueprint, but when I seen a certain way that he cut his windows and fixed a certain place, I said, well, that's not right. It just can't be right. That's contrary. That isn't right. So I built the way that I thought was right. And when he come back from Florida, from his vacation, I had his house almost ready. He looks at the house and he goes and gets the blueprint and looks at that and says, say, you have to build my house wrong. You have built my house wrong. And I said, no, I haven't built your house wrong. What about such and such a place? Well, he said, that really don't belong there. He said, tear it down. If you expect me to pay you, you'll build it the way the blueprint said. And he said, what do you think about that, Brother Branham? And I said, well, there's a creek running right down below the house. And we went to it, and I said, I don't want any... And he said, I don't want any tearing down it that day. He said, get it right now. Put it according to the blueprint. So Brother Branham uses this illustration in the natural, showing how in this word. If you got the wrong blueprint, we are told that at the end time, there will be sons of God that will manifest as sons of God. How are you going to get there? We're told that we're to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. How are you going to get there? There's a blueprint. You can't just say, well, we got politicians out there. You know, they claim that they're Christian, homosexuals, and they're Christian. Let me tell you something. A sodomite is not a homosexual. A sodomite is not a Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like. I would venture to say that 99% of the people throughout Christendom who claim to be Christian are no more Christian than your dog or your cat. Because Christian means Christ-like. And people who go out and fornicate, commit adultery, go out and drink, smoke, and chew, and just, you know, run with the world, they're not Christian. Christian means Christ-like. There's a blueprint to be Christ-like, and it is the Son of God. We know the blueprint is the Word of God. So if we're going to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, it must be according to the pattern or blueprint that God gave us of His Son, His firstborn Son. Too many Christian people claim to be born again, as I said, but their pattern, the pattern, Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. The pattern of their life shows they're not Christian. Now, as we've been studying Brother Bram's sermon, The Unveiling of God, we see Brother Bram continually laying out the blueprint of how the veil must be unveiled if we are to see God. It matters not what the veil is, because we have been taught to take our eyes off of the veil and get them on the God who's using the veil. You see, this is why people came along and they thought John the Baptist was the Messiah. No, he was a veil that God was using. Men have always chased after the veil, and then when they get to the veil, like they did with Moses, and they lift Moses up on a pedestal, and then when they see he's got human flaws like you and I got human flaws, they get mad. They think he's supposed to be perfect. The veil, listen, your veil will never be perfect. But your soul, if it's aligned with the Word of God, will be. And God doesn't look at your veil, your piece of flesh. He looks at your thoughts, your intentions, your motives, your ambitions. Therefore, as we read again from his sermon, The Unveiling of God, I want you to keep in your mind that there is a blueprint, which is the pattern that God has always used when he unveils himself to mankind. So as I read again this morning from Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God, I want everything that I read this morning to be filtered through your mind by this filter. What is the filter? How is what Brother Branham is showing us measure up against the blueprint of how God has unveiled himself through the ages? Now, we're going to be reading quotes from Brother Branham. I want you to take it right back and say, how is this lining up with the blueprint of the Word of God, of how God has, from the very beginning, manifested himself? Now, let's begin to read this morning by reading from paragraph 119. Brother Branham says, but God's in full view of us hid, saying now. Now, he was just talking about how on Calvary, Jesus was laying there dying in the temple where the Shekinah glory, the presence of God over the tabernacle, how that temple, the veil was ripped in half, showing who was up there dying. The songs they were singing, the psalms they were singing, my hands and my feet they pierced, was being manifested on the hill, and they weren't even aware that the scripture they were reading was already being fulfilled. Can you see if this, what I'm pointing to, is Alpha and Omega, the principle? He is saying, as he was so, he is now. As he was, so is he. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the pattern cannot change. The blueprint must be the same, or it isn't God who is unveiling. Brother Branham continues, then when God in his mercy rent the veil, he was brought into plain view. But they were so wrapped in their traditions, he was still hid from them, and it's the same now. Again, he's saying, as he unveiled himself to the people then, he is doing the same today. The blueprint cannot change, and him be the God of the Bible who changes not. Brother Branham continues, all that glory hid is hid for us in Christ the Word, who is our temple. I want you to notice that he is bringing it from how God veiled in his Son, is now veiling himself in the body of Christ, his temple. You must be able to understand the blueprint cannot change. How God unveiled back then, he must unveil today the same. So if the Son of God was manifested as the Son of God, then sons of God must manifest the same. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works shall you do, for I go to my Father. If it isn't the same nature, the same reflection, the same manifestation that was in the Son, it isn't Son of God. And so Brother Rand continues, oh, now, I'm going to have to dig down in just a little bit. Excuse me for my emotions this morning, but, oh, I've wanted to give this out so long, it's just binding up in me. See? So you see, what he's trying to tell us here is perhaps not finding the right words to express it. But it is so strong of an emotion that he says, it's binding me up. In other words, I can hardly express it to you. I am having trouble finding words or a way to express what I'm seeing here. Now let's pick up at the very next paragraph, because he tells us what that blueprint is in paragraph 120. He says, now notice, all the glory that is in God is in his Word. Now you people ought to know by now that every time you read that word glory, especially in the Scripture, your thoughts ought to automatically think of God's glory, which is his doxa, which is God's opinions, his values, his judgment. Now, I used to read that in the Bible, you know, about the glory of God. And I said, well, what does glory mean? Does it mean a bright light? Does it mean a great reputation? I never understood until I looked up the Greek word, and it's simply doxa. And it means the opinions, the values, and the judgment of God. Jesus said, I have given them thy glory that they may be one in the same way you and I are one. I've given them thy doxa. I've given them thy opinions. I've given them thy values. I've given them thy judgments that you and I might be the same. Because we got them from you. Jesus said, everything I say, the Father commanded me what to say and what to teach. Now, he says, all blessings that's in God is in the Word. Because He is the Word. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's hid to the unbeliever by their traditions. See what I mean? But it's all in Christ. And Christ is the Word. Now notice then that the blueprint to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, who is in the image of God Himself, is in the Word. Hebrews 1:1. Remember, God who in sundry times and diverse manners spake through the prophets, hath in this last day spoken unto us in Jesus Christ, who being the very image of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, born in the very image, and we are to come to that image. Romans 8, we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, we are to be manifested as sons of God, we are to be adopted as sons of God. Notice then that the blueprint to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, who is in the image of God Himself, is in the Word. But He said it is hid to the unbeliever. Why? Because the unbeliever does not hold to the blueprint, which is the pattern, which is found in the Word. By his nature, he does not believe that he needs a blueprint to be like Christ. And remember, in the very beginning, Lucifer exalted himself because he wanted to be like the Most High. But he had to cast aside the blueprint to even think like that. Why? Because he was created being. He was a created being. He was not a son. You know, sons have the life from the Father. Lucifer did not. He didn't have eternal life. He was not a son, and therefore could not match the blueprint. Now, Brother Brown lays out this very principle when he continues by saying, all that God was, he emptied himself, kenos, and came into Christ, and we, into Christ, are behind the veil. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Therefore, outside of God's life, you cannot fit the pattern which is the blueprint. Then Brother Ram says, well, I'm into Christ, you say, and then believe that there's three gods, baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, believe in all these traditions and things that you believe in, of the elder, no, you're still behind the veil. In other words, if you are in the veil, which is Christ, the Word, then you cannot add anything to what God said, and you cannot take away from anything that He said. For the Holy Ghost in you will amen every word that God has spoken, that the Holy Ghost wrote. And when you speak words which are contrary to what God's Word says, it shows that you do not have the Holy Ghost because you are outside the blueprint which is His Word. It all must come back to His Word. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 2:11, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. And in verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So you must have the Spirit of God to know them and discern the things of God, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Therefore, if you have not the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us you are none of His. You are outside the blueprint, so it will not work. Now, Brother Ram continues, see, come into the veil, He, Christ, is the Word. How? Now, notice he says, come into the veil, and He, Christ, the veil, is the Word. He is the blueprint, He is the pattern, for the blueprint is Christ, the Word. Then he talks like someone outside the blueprint who says, well, I don't believe in divine healing, I don't believe in these miracles and things like that. And Brother Adam lets us know that such thinking is outside the Word of God, for God Himself said, I am the God who healeth all thy diseases. And His Word is the blueprint, His Word is the pattern for all healing. So Brother Adam speaks of those who are outside the Word, which is outside the blueprint, outside the pattern, and he says, well, you see, you're not inside the veil, you don't know nothing about it. See, Christ is the Word, and when we're in the Word, we're in Christ. And how can I be in Christ denying Christ? It's He that said, not one word shall be added or taken away. How can you take away and then add to? See, it shows you what veil that's got you veiled away. See? And we know that that's the veil of unbelief. For it shows you the person that is such is a natural man who cannot understand the things of God. It's impossible without the Holy Ghost. From paragraph 121, it says, now we in Him, then we being in Him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. Jesus said, Father, I'm in the world, and the world hated me. And the world's going to hate you too. Did not Jesus say to us in His prayer to the Father in John 17:20 that we become one with the Father as we receive the doxa that God gave to Jesus and Jesus gave to us? Let's just read it. John 17:21. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments which Thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one. Even as, in the same way, we are one. You see, the oneness in His mind says, well, God is one like your finger is one. That the body was God? The body was not God. God is spirit. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. The body was a man called Jesus, the Son of the living God. God entered him. When John saw the pillar of fire come down, he said, I saw the Spirit of God descending like a light, like a dove, and He abode in him and rested upon him. Then at the River Jordan, then in Gethsemane, Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross, He said that. Brother Brown told us that God left Jesus in Gethsemane that He could die in the morning. How many times in between then did they try to kill Him, they try to stone Him, they try to push Him over the edge of the cliff, and He just walked right through their midst. They couldn't touch Him. Why? Because God was tabernacling deity in the body of His Son. You see? Jesus said, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the Son hath declared Him, has exegeted Him, hath made Him openly known. Now, as Brother Brad said, if Jesus were to come in this hour, and let's just say put paint a picture in your mind that Jesus came and He was wearing a business suit, and let's just say that He even came clean shaven and was a preacher, and you would look at Him and you would not know that that was God. How would you know that that was God? You would only know it by the vindication. By the thus saith the Lord. By the words coming to pass exactly as He spoke. Never miss it. Then Brother Brown says, see, our glory that we have and enjoying, and we are still veiled to them outsiders, they think that we're crazy. None again. See? That's right. But we are in here, in Christ, baptized into Him. 1 Corinthians 12, into Him. We are partakers of this glory, see? But not on the outside. You're still looking in, denying it, see? So there's two types of people, two groups, actually. You've got the unbeliever and the believer. Well, you say, well, there's three kinds of believers because there's a make-believer. Well, the make-believer is really an unbeliever. But he just make-believes for a while until he can find something against it. And then he shows he's an unbeliever. So he's letting us know that outside of having the very same spirit, the very same life, and thus the very same nature as Christ, you will never understand Christ, and therefore the world will never understand Him, nor His blueprint, which is His Word. For that is who He is. He is the Word. Now, Brother Rabbit continues in paragraph 122. He says, now, it isn't just a written word to us, it's a reality. We're in Him. He says they can look at this, they can read the same words that you read, and it means nothing to them. It's a history. You read the same word, and it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And you say, well, this is the end time. He should have come. He should be. And then when you see the fulfillment of it, you recognize it. He says that the sons of God will manifest as sons of God. Listen, people get this conjured up Pentecostal kind of deluded idea, and they think that being a son of God, manifesting as a son of God, you're going to jump over buildings and everything else, and Jesus never did that. What did Jesus do that we knew He was a son? Huh? By His obedience to the Father. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience. Now the Trinitarian says, well, see, that's God the Son. No, it's not God the Son. He's the Son of God. There's no scripture calling Him God the Son. He's the Son of God. He learned obedience. God don't learn obedience. God is omniscient. God's omnipotent. God answers to nobody. Jesus said the Son of God can do nothing but let the Father show him first. Brother Branham said he had to have a vision, just like Brother Branham had to have vision. You see? So if we are to manifest the sons of God, we're going to walk exactly as Jesus did, who was the first Son of God, the firstborn Son of God. Not anything contrary, not anything outside of the blueprint. There it is. Like Brother Rand said, to them it's just a word, just an idea, but to us it's a reality. Now the word reality also means something that exists independently of all other things and from which all other things are derived. And therefore, according to the dictionary definition of reality, that can only be speaking of God Himself, who is the only reality. He alone exists independently of all others and from which all things are derived. Then Brother Bram said, now we're enjoying Him. I'd like to add Him, the reality. Now we behold Him. Now we see Him, the Word, manifesting Himself. As I said before, if Jesus were to come and clean shaven, wearing a business suit, you wouldn't know that it was God. But when He began to raise the dead, heal the sick, stop nature, change nature, then you're not looking at the vessel. You're looking at the God who is using the vessel. The only way you'll know God is by His characteristics. And He's a supernatural God. Therefore, His characteristics will be supernatural. So what Brother Branham is telling us here is that the very reality of the blueprint is when the blueprint becomes manifest. When you see in reality what you can see in print form. And he says you can't see the manifest in the blueprint, and they look at the blueprint and cannot conceptualize the reality of what is in print form. But now we behold Him, he says. Now we see Him manifested, Word manifesting Himself. Let me just explain. John, you work with blueprints all the time. And I think Nathan, you work with blueprints all the time. And Don, you do. Anybody, Justin, different ones that are in contracting and stuff like that. Can you imagine being able to look at a blueprint and not conceptualize what that finished product is? That's like 99% of Christianity. This is the blueprint. And they cannot conceptualize the finished product because they can't see it. And what you're seeing, when you see this Word manifested, you're seeing God. He continues, it's hid out there. Because why? It's veiled in human flesh. See? So when the reality of what we see in the written Word, you begin to see in your own flesh, then you see the interpretation of the written Word, because the reality of the manifested Word is Christ in you. The hope of glory, the hope of doxa, the hope of His opinions and values and judgments. And Brother Brown got the place that all my thoughts are God. The God life in you, which is the earnest expectation that you are seeing and understanding the glory, the opinions of God. Now from the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham said, now remember, you say, well, we believe this, but we don't believe that. Well, if you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word. He's the Word of God. In St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look, a word is only an expression of a thought that precedes it. The thought had to be there first, and then when it begins its evolution of expression, that thought that it had, it has to be formulated into an expression which is the form of a word. God evolving from a thought to a word. Not changing. Different words. Man didn't come from another species. Man was created in God's image. But God evolving, His Word evolving from a thought. As man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The expression, the thought begins to express itself. And when it comes to its fullness of expression, it is manifestation. Let there be horse, there was horse. First in spirit form, then in flesh form. Let there be man. God created man in his own image, Genesis 1:26. Male and female created he them. Man was in spirit form. Chapter 2, also, God formed of the dust of the earth and breathed into his mouth the breath of life. So the spirit man was given a veil of flesh. The spirit man, the word that went forth in spirit form, because words are spirit. When that word went forth in an expression from the mouth of God, and God said, let there be light. God said, let there be man in my image, etc. God said words. In chapter 2, God began to form and bring forth bodies, bring forth elements from the earth to house those bodies. Your body is nothing but calcium and potash and all these other elements that's worth 80 some cents. Maybe today's economy might be worth more, but not a whole lot more. But your body's not who you are. It's just a housing for your soul and spirit. You see? The word is only an expression of the thought that preceded it. The thought had to be there first, and then when it begins to express that thought, it has to be formulated into an expression, which is in the form of word. Then when that word manifests itself, the manifestation becomes a full, complete expression and rightful interpretation of the word. Now, Brother Brown said, when you're born in the natural, you have a human cell comes together, the human cell begins to multiply. It's human cell upon human cell upon human cell. It's not human cell, then part dog cell, part horse cell, part cow cell, whatever. It's human cell upon human cell upon human cell. And we, as sons of God, are word upon word upon word. That's the DNA of God. Brother Brown continues in the invisible union of God by saying, Christ was the living word. In other words, the word made alive. He always was the word. He's still the word. He always will be the word. So the pattern can't change. The blueprint cannot change. Therefore, if Christ was the Word and is the Word and will always be the Word, then that tells you the Word is the very blueprint and pattern of the living reality of the living Word, which is Christ Himself. Then, if Jesus Christ was the firstborn and He manifested as the Son of God, then sons of God will manifest the same. They cannot manifest any other way. They'll be obedient to the Father. They'll do nothing until the Father shows them first. Brother Brown continues, he was the only manifestation of the attributes of God, for he was the Son of God. And any son is the attributes of his Father. There it is. Don, you a son?
Amen.
An attribute of your Father. Nathan, you're a son? Attribute of God. I hope you follow what Brother Brown just said, because he is speaking of the manifestation of God, life in a son. Any son is the manifestation of the attributes of God. And what are the attributes of God? His doxa, his opinions, his attributes, his judgments. That is exactly what Brother Branham is telling us here in this paragraph. So let's just read carefully, very carefully, and you'll see what I mean. He says, and just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father when he was a young boy, you were in him, yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of your mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father, and then he could fellowship with you. So were the sons of God and daughters of God before there even was a moon, star, or molecule. You were sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attribute that was in God at the beginning. Hallelujah. You know, you think that the virgin birth is a miraculous thing. The virgin birth compares nothing to the natural birth, because God saw you before the foundation of the world when you were in his thinking, and he had to make sure that your parents met so you would have the right DNA to express what he thought before the foundation of the world. Well, then he had to make sure your parents' parents met. Your parents' parents' parents met all the way back to the garden. So that you would be the exact representation of the image that was in his mind. Now, if you're a good architect, you could put things in a blueprint that helps the contractor to develop the product so that You know, if you leave things out, he's going to be stumbling around and thinking, like Brother Brown tells us, that, you know, the guy saw the bay window. He thought, well, it'd be better to have a porch there. So he put a porch there. The guy said, that's not what was in my mind. When we developed the blueprint, I want a bay window there. Well, people say, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm a son of God, but, you know, I like my cigarettes. I like my alcohol. I like my carousing in the world. I'm sorry. The blueprint. The works that I do, shall you do also.
Amen.
All right. Now, did you catch what Brother Ram said? He said, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God in the beginning. Look, God's word has to manifest in order for you to have the correct interpretation of his word. Peter said, the word is of no private interpretation. Brother Branham said, that means God interprets his word by doing what? Bringing it to pass. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. What happened? He interpreted his word by bringing light. Then if you were in his thoughts before the foundation of the world, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, and that's the key, that we should be. He chose us that we should be. I want you to think of how important that is. He set the pattern in his mind of what we should be. That we should be. He chose it before the foundation of the world while we were yet in him that we should be. That we should manifest what he predestined us to manifest. And that is holy, he says. And without blame. Totally justified in his presence. How are you going to do that on your own? You can't. But by the blood of his son, he made a way. That's what the word, before him in love, it means. The word before was translated from the Greek word katenopion, which means in directly before him or in his presence. That having predestinated us unto the adoption, what does predestinated mean? Predetermined. Oh, I don't believe in predestination, you say. Listen, if I take a wheat seed, put it in the ground, what is it? Is it going to bring up turnips? It's going to bring up what? A wheat. Why? It's a wheat seed. All the attributes and characteristics of being a wheat is in that seed. That's predestination. All the attributes and characteristics of you being a son of God is right here in the blueprint. Hallelujah. And you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world to manifest as a son. Hallelujah. In the image of your Father. Then, Paul says, verse 5, then having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not your will, his will, to the praise, remember, Jesus said, take this cup, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, you can have your own will, but a true son of God is going to say, Father, your will is greater than my will. Your will works together for my good. My will may not. My will is kind of iffy, choicey. There's questions involved. But your will always work together for my good. Therefore, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, you didn't make yourself, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. How do you make us? Through the blood of his son. How many remember when I took the several pieces of red opaque plastic and we held the red book with white letters on it and the whole book was white? Because when you look through red at red, it turns white. I don't know the physics behind it. All I know is how it works. And it works. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees you as perfect as he saw his son. That's why there's a once for all sacrifice In the Old Testament, you know, every time they sinned, they had to go to the priest and confess it and bring a dove or a turtle dove or something. The Catholic Church, you know, they have you go to church and, you know, say a Mass and three Hail Marys and ten Our Fathers and you absolve your sin. Hogwash. There's a once-for-all sacrifice, and that was the blood of the firstborn son. So that, basically, let's just face it, that God's Spirit that was in him could come back upon you and I. That we could replicate that very life. Not of what we do, by the way. It's what he already chose to do with us. So let me read again. Let me break this down into a bit-sized piece so that we can just grip what he's saying here. He says, you're manifested. You are manifested in his image. Now remember, the thought had to be there before it could be manifested. And it had to be expressed in the form of a word before it could materialize and become manifested. But when it does manifest, it becomes a reality of what the written word spoke of. And those image, whose image are we manifested into? Into what image? Into God's image. God. Invisible. God. Becoming flesh. God manifesting himself. How? Where? In you. In me. The word Christian means Christ-like. This nation claims to be Christian, but it's not Christian. It's not Christ-like. But we see all the time, many who claim to be Christian are so far from being Christ-like that they actually bring into disrepute the word Christian. And as I mentioned, we got sodomites. We got a sodomite running for president, Mr. Butkin. And he claims to be a Christian, but he's a sodomite. He is not Christ-like. He takes the scripture, twists it all the time in his campaigning. He is Satan-like. Because Satan even came with the scripture trying to tempt Jesus. But did not Satan himself exalt himself, saying he wanted to be like the Most High? So why would not his children not try to claim the same goals and aspirations of their father? Jesus said, you're a father of the devil. And the lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth, because there's no truth in it. He's speaking a lie. But Brother Adam continued, in the image of God you are made. And we know that the only way that we could be made in the image of God is that we were in him before the foundations of the world. And remember, he is life. We were life in him. And he thought of us and spoke of us, then in the fullness of time predestinated us to come into the expression and manifestation of him. And so Brother Brown continues, and you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. Now, if we were brought into manifestation to manifest God's glory, and thus bring us into fellowship with the Father, then how can you be outside of the blueprint of God's Word and call yourself manifested Word? You can't do it. So Brother Adam continues, and therefore, as sure as your genes had to be in your father before your natural birth, your spiritual genes had to be in God because you're an expression of the attributes of his thoughts before the foundation of the world. That's right. No way around it. That's right. And we already read it, Paul, Ephesians 1. Okay, I don't think I'm going to go any further this morning. I have another, actually, not 10, 12 pages. In this side, I've got another 23 pages. So we're going to close it off at this time, and next week we're going to pick up at paragraph 33 of the Invisible Union of God, and we're going to actually see that corner turning, where we're going to begin to look at the expression of God, how God first expressed himself, then expressed himself, then expressed himself, then begin to manifest, and then manifest, and manifest, and manifest, until the end time. That's what we're looking at from Brother Brown's sermon, The Unveiling of God, and the Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word means more to us than life. For not one jot or tittle shall fail. You said, the words you sent forth as a seed, it shall not return unto you void. May we cherish your word in our hearts. May we read your word every day. Because these are the expressions, the thoughts of God. And they are to be expressed, those thoughts, in us. And how could we manifest as sons of God if we don't have a word, your blueprint to manifest from? So, Father, help us, O God, in the morning, at lunchtime, at night, to be reading from your word. And when we do, Father, may we just come to you and say, Father, would you show me today what your thoughts are that you would have me to know? And I believe, Father, that you will be with us. For you said, if we be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to us. And we're counting on that relationship with you as sons and as our Father to bring us to the place of adoption, to bring us to the place of being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Not going around with a beard and long hair and sandals, but being so Christ-like that our doctrine is yours. That the words we speak are your words. That the things that we do, we've seen in your word, your pattern, your blueprint. That we might put on Christ, as Paul said. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think it would be good for you to go through those notes that are on the internet. Study them. They will revolutionize your life. You begin to see how God is actually bringing to pass His Word in manifested form, sons in manifested form. You see that it's not some great thing that we do, not some way that we look, but it's simply being of the nature, Father, what would you have your child to do? What would you have your child to know? Help me, Lord, to have enough control over this body that I don't do anything except for what you show me to do. Help me not to say anything but what you have put in my mouth to say, in my ears, through your word, in my heart. Then you'll manifest Christ. For the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.